Blog Talk Radio.
I've been having trouble getting to sleep.
You should try Sounds of the Sea, the soundtrack of ocean sounds, guaranteed to get you to sleep.
Hey, are we far enough out yet?
We're 60 miles off the coast. We should be well into international waters.
All right, I got the chickens. First we'll fuck them, then have them fight before we cook them both.
Hey, save some room for this myth I'm cooking up.
That's Sounds of the Sea, available for 5 easy payments of $29.95 plus shipping and handling. P.O. Box, Buckabee, Iowa, 69, Backdoor Way. Sorry, no CODs.
Heat, for I am Aquaman, bandit! Okay, the V-Spot is on the air. That was one of our numerous sponsors. I'm Dr. Vic Tater, and I am talking to Elizabeth DeRosso, one of the stars of HBO's Eastbound and Down, and she's done a couple other acting projects along the way. Elizabeth, how are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
I'm doing real good. I tell you, I would not be surprised that the mailman knocks on my door any second. Any other day, the mail would have been delivered at 1 o'clock. Probably have to take a sudden break. I guess the first thing to ask is, how did you get into acting?
Well, I was a really big fan of, and still am, of The X-Files. And I was about 17 or 18 when I heard that there was an open call to fans to come and be extras on the show. So at the time, I lived in Laredo, Texas, and I was like, I need to do that. So I ended up getting on the Greyhound and met up with someone that I had met online. And ended up staying with her, and she, you know, she didn't kill me. I'm still alive. And we ended up going while they were filming this episode called The Fight Club with actually Kathy Griffith was the guest star of that episode. And we were out in the Grand Olympic Auditorium, and I remember here in L.A., and I just remember watching, like, David and Jillian kind of do their thing, and I was like, I want to do that. That's what I want to do. And, you know, that's basically where it all started, and then, you know, I made out the move here to L.A.
I'm curious about this because, like you said, you were a big fan of the show. Did working as an extra, did it kind of take away the magic of the show any?
Did it what about? I'm sorry?
Did it take away a little bit of the magic, seeing how the sausage is made?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. I mean, I was just in complete awe of it and just, you know, the fact that I was just there and, like, you know, like, I guess, you know, at the time it was like, oh, my gosh, Mulder and Scully, like, live. Was really cool. So, no, it didn't really take anything away from it.
Okay, I'm always very curious about this because I was trying to find out from a pro football player if, you know, the time they were playing, if it kind of took away some of the luster. You know,
no, I mean,
things
I
like
can
that.
Find that to happen. Yeah, I mean, at least not for me, you know. And I did extra work for the first 3 months that I was out here. And that's how I ended up getting my SAG card. And, you know, and I worked on some of my favorite shows. You know, I was able to be an extra on The X-Files again and on West Wing, which I was also obsessed with. And, you know, it really didn't take up anything. I think it enhanced it.
Excuse me one second. I have a guest. Okay, thank you. Oh, there's the middleman. just keep talking. I'll just, you know, I don't know if you're aware of his playhouse, but if you'll remember, he'd give visits from the King of Cartoons.
From the what? I'm sorry?
You remember his playhouse, how he'd get a visit from the King of Cartoons?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, just, I'm very, very sorry. It's a very professional environment here. Just continue what you were saying.
I just said it just enhanced it, the shows for me.
Okay, yeah, because I feel like that when you get involved in something you love, it can either sour you on it or it enhances it.
Yeah, no, it definitely made them better for me.
Now, when you're an extra, what instructions do you get from the director?
You really don't get anything from the director. I mean, very, very, very rarely do you ever. It's mostly from the, you know, the second, or it's someone else that's telling you, sort of, that's in charge of, like, you know, the background. And, you know, you're basically walking furniture, you know? Like, I mean, you know, you move here, you move there. It's fun. Like, I loved it. Like, if I, you know, while in between projects, you know, that I'm, like, you know, waiting to work on something else, like, if I could do extra work, I would love to, because I have fun. You know, like, you get to meet so many different people from all walks of life, and, you know, it's like, you know, you get to be on set, and, you know, you get to sort of experience, you know, what happens behind the scenes and stuff like that. So I always enjoyed it. But yeah, you know, so you just basically, like, walk from point A to point B, or, you know, pretend you're, like, pantomime a conversation and stuff like that.
All right. Are you actually talking, or are you just acting like you're talking?
No, well, you're pantomiming. So you're pretending like you're speaking. I would have this thing, which I would just, over and over again, I would just say, banana, 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 banana. But, you know, like, there was no sound coming out, but that's what I would repeat. And it would look like I was having a conversation.
Right. Get into another thing. So it'd be one of these situations that if the director actually noticed you, it'd probably be you're doing something wrong.
Probably.
Do you remember this old episode of I Love Lucy where Lucy got a part as an extra in a show in when she was in Hollywood, and she was angry that they couldn't see her face, and she kept doing all these things trying to get attention?
Oh, I vaguely remember that, yeah.
And finally the director killed her, so she'd be a corpse, and she wrote on the bottom of her shoe, Lucy Ricardo. go ahead and finish.
No, go ahead. It's fine.
No. I was just wondering, when did you get your first speaking line?
It was on Cold Case. In 2005, I went in for, it was my very first audition ever, and I went in for Cold Case on a Friday. Around like 2:30 in the afternoon. I had a call back at 3:30, and by 6:30 that evening, I had landed my first role.
All right, how big of a role was it? Because I never watched Cold Case, so, but I was looking up your IMDb, and I saw you had one.
It was a guest star role.
Okay, so you must have been really excited for that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was definitely really featured. I was, you know, one of the, you know, people that they were, was involved in the case or part of the case that they were investigating.
All right. Now, were you nervous before that? Because I can be honest, whenever I'm doing the show, like, I was terribly nervous today, and it seems like I get nervous every time I do the show now. So I have to imagine being on a show like that, you'd be wound up.
At the time, because it happened so quickly, like when I went in for the audition, I always get nervous before and during auditions. But once I got the actual role, I really didn't know what I was doing, to be honest. I had no idea because I had never.
I understand what you're saying. You know, it's kind of like when you're a kid and you do things, you know, if you knew better, you'd be scared.
Yeah. So it just, you know, I just didn't know any better. But, you know, I never, I don't know, I don't remember being that nervous for that show.
Now, I was looking here, you had a part on the United States of Terra.
Yes, I was, I just had, like, a couple of lines on that show. It was in an episode called Abundance, I think, from the first season. And I just had a couple of lines there.
All right. I'm always curious about TV direction. How do directors work on TV shows? Because in movies, you know, you're kind of trying to put a unique vision out. But with TV, you're kind of you don't necessarily have to be assembly line, but you do have to stay consistent with what other directors are doing on the show.
You know, When I worked on Cold Case, the person that was directing it was Paris Barkley, who is like a, you know, he is a TV vet. Like, he's done every, you know, pretty much every show you can think of. And it's, you know, they all have their own different process. You know, like on Eastbound, it's very different because Jody Hill, he's also the executive producer of the show and he directs it. So he sort of knows what vision he wants to go with and stuff. And like in his process, you know, he you know, sort of, you know, sits there and sort of thinks about it and kind of, you know, and sits with us, you know, with the actors. And, you know, we kind of just go over a scene and, you know, and rehearse it and sort of like, you know, throw stuff out of what we think would work and what we think wouldn't work, and very collaborative in that way.
All right, when you got the role, can you tell me about when you auditioned for the role of...
I'm sorry?
Can you tell me about when you got the role on Eastbound and Down as Maria?
Yes, I went in, it was in 2010, and I believe it was like in March of 2010. I was actually working as an executive assistant for the 51st District of Agriculture in Los Angeles, and I had this audition for Eastbound, and at the time, Carla Hull and Simone LaFleur were casting the second season because I don't know who they had the first season, but anyway, so they were casting it, and my agent sent me on this audition, and I have never really been in for like anything comedic, because I was terrified of comedy. I had no improv background. I had never even studied improv or like didn't even know the rules of improv. And I went in to audition for another role, for the role of Kitui's wife, who ended up being my sister on the show. And I remember I got to the audition 30 minutes late because I was so scared of going in. And my agent's like, just go, just go, just go. And I finally went inside, and I saw Simone LaFleur at the time, who I didn't know who she was, but I just saw this woman, and I knew that she was in, like, with the casting office. And I was like, you know, I'm so sorry. Like, you know I'm extremely late, but I'm here. So I totally understand if you don't want to see me, but if you do, I'm here. And she's like, well, you know, if you can wait for this group to go, I'll see you. And it was, I think I waited for about an hour. And I later found out actually from one of my friends that he went to one of her workshops and that she said that if you're ever late to any of her auditions, she will turn you away. She won't see you. So, you know, now I realize that I was extremely lucky that she actually even saw me that day. And I auditioned for The Wife of Kitui. I ended up going to producers for that with Efren Ramirez, who ended up playing Kitui. And then we went to network together. And after our network audition, Simone followed me and said, we would like you to come in tomorrow for a chemistry test with Steve Little. And I didn't know, because I had never seen the show. And I was like, okay, who's that? And he's like, he's on the show. You know, it's going to be all improv. So, you know, just come in, I'll call you and I'll tell you what it sort of entails. Because they sort of, you know, they were just, you know, fleshing out Maria at the time. And yeah, the next day I went in and I remember calling my friend Lindsay, who I'm actually doing a project with in a couple of weeks. I'm doing this web series that she's doing. And I called her up and I said, what are the rules of improv? And she's like, the most important thing is just say yes, and. Yes, and. And I was like, okay. And I went in, and a couple of weeks later they told me that I got the role, and then I flew out to Puerto Rico.
All right, now, on the show, your character doesn't speak English, so you do most lines in Spanish, or a lot of times you don't say much of anything. Was that difficult for you at first?
To speak Spanish? Or
No, not speak Spanish, but, you know, basically having to act without being able to, you know, necessarily speak English, or, you know, you're having to communicate
absolutely.
More physically.
Yes, especially when I went in for the audition with Steve, and he was improvising, and it was mainly a lot of it was him, and a lot of the what I was doing is just my reactions to him and stuff. And I basically what they told me is like, pretend like you do not understand what he's saying, like you have no idea what he's saying. And it was extremely difficult because obviously he was saying some pretty hilarious things, and I was trying not to break character. And the same happened in season two because, you know, she really didn't know English and she was just being herself. It ended up working. And then, you know, obviously, like, in the third season this past year, this past season, I was able to speak a little bit of English. But I actually had to get a dialect coach for that because I didn't really get a really good accent, a good Mexican accent. So they ended up getting me a dialect coach for that.
How long did that take to get the dialect down?
I did 10 sessions over Skype with her. She had actually just gotten off of working on The Help, and then she started working with me right after that.
Now, I'm curious, when you get told to do an accent now, because, you know, I mean, it's kind of a thorny territory when you're trying to teach someone to do an accent, you know, because you don't want it to be a character necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, that's why the dialect coach really helps. I mean, because they really teach you, I don't even know, like, I can't even remember the specifics, but, you know, it's just, it's something, you know, that you learn so that you don't sound like you're trying to put on an accent, so that it feels like
right.
It's natural.
Now, it's funny, because when I first saw you on the show, and I ended up Googling you, you know, because you intrigued me, and I looked, and I found out that you spoke English. I was shocked. I thought you were just a local person they got in. I mean that as a compliment, sincerely, because I was shocked, you know, that you spoke English, you know what I mean.
Everyone is sort of shocked when they meet me, and sometimes that's why a lot of people don't really put two and two together when they see me. Like, they kind of like, you know, I know you from something, but a lot of people don't really make that connection because, you know, I'm also really, you know, valley, as someone would say, you know, because I've lived in the valley most of, I grew up in L.A. Like, I was born in Texas, but I grew up a lot in L.A., and I was, I've spent about 26 years of my life here. I'm very much valley and just my expressions and stuff like that. So a lot of people don't make the connection.
Yeah. Let me ask you about this, because I've been nervous about this all day, just asking this. In the show, in the first season, you had to do a couple of nude scenes.
Yeah.
when did you find out? Yeah, I've been very nervous because I'm scared there's no way to ask this without sounding like a pig.
That's fine.
And, you know, people are just judging me, you know, but when did you find out there was going to be nude scenes in it?
I knew right away. Pretty much after I went in for the role, an audition for Maria, I think I found out maybe a couple of weeks later before they offered me the role, and they let us know that I was going topless is what I knew. And I didn't know about the sex thing, but I knew about the topless part of it. And it took me a little bit to kind of figure out if that's what I wanted to do because, I'm a certain size and, you know, women of a certain size, it's like, you know, it's not something that you've done. And I was just afraid that, you know, one, it was forever going to be lived on the interweb. You know, it's going to be there. People, you know, it's going to be online, YouTube and stuff, and, you know, with all, like, social media and stuff like that. And then also that people can be cruel. And I didn't know that
I wanted to speak to myself like that,
you know. And but I ended up speaking to one of my friends who's an assistant for a manager. And, you know, I kind of told her, and, you know, and she was just like, you know, it's HBO. She's like, you're in great company, like, you know, and, you know, are the scripts great? And, you know, she just sort of ran down this list with me. And ultimately, you know, she was definitely one of the people that convinced me to do it. And so I jumped on it and I said, you know, what the hell, you know, you only live once. And I did it. And, you know, it was really scary. But it worked out. And, like, I've never heard anyone be, you know, mean about it, or I've never, you know, my friends sometimes will send me stuff, but, you know, no one's ever been cruel about it or anything like that. So, you know, that kind of, you know, makes me feel a little bit better.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll tell you, you know, because I'm a large man myself, you know, and for me, when I saw it, to me, it was such a refreshing thing to see someone that's not the typical Hollywood type.
Yeah.
You know, man, it's like I'm stuck, because it's like I tell you, I've fretted over this for weeks.
Yeah, no worries. I knew that it would be a question that'd be asked, and you know, it's fine. I'm super comfortable with it. You know, it's not. You know, I did it, and you know, like the thing is that sort of, you know, helped create some of the things that Maria kind of does over the next couple of seasons, and even in this past season. You know, that's sort of like a telling thing about her, that she's just so free and, you know, kind of doesn't really care what, you know, people think or say.
Yeah. Now, when you're doing the sex scene, because, you know, which was, you know, I mean, I can't imagine, because like I said, we're just talking and it's, you know, it's awkward and kind of stutter, you know, so I can't imagine having to do a scene like that, you know, with somebody. How difficult was that?
That was extremely nerve-wracking, and we had been shooting that day for about 14 hours, I think, and it was at the end of the night that Jody came up to me and told me that we were shooting it that day, and he just asked me, you know, like, what can I do to make you feel comfortable, and it's going to be a closed set, and, you know, so a closed set means, you know, basically that, you know, people that only people that need to be in the
right.
room are going to be in the room, and that's it. And I was extremely nervous, but I had also been there for 14 hours, and we were in Puerto Rico where it's super hot, super humid.
Right.
So, you know, it's like I needed to shower at that point. And I was like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. So I just remember going into a bathroom and like asking like, the girls from makeup and hair to, like, you know, if there's any lotion or like wipes or anything so that I could just sort of, you know, do something and, you know, to feel a little bit more comfortable with it. And I just remember telling Steve, I'm like, I'm just going to press my, you know, my chest up against your chest, you know, so that they can't see, so no one can see. You know, and he tried to make me feel as comfortable as possible, you know, but it's weird. You know, you have about 14 people, you know, you have a mic, you have, you know, the director and like, you know, like move this way, move that way. So it's like so not sexy. It's like the most awkward and uncomfortable thing ever. But, you know, it worked for the scene.
Well, you know, it was interesting. You mentioned being hot and tired, and it's amazing how hot and tired can make your bashfulness go away, because I remember one summer, like a couple of years ago, I have a pool behind my apartment, and it was so hot, and I remember I had on my gym shorts, and I went outside, and I was just kind of like, I'm fat, deal with it.
Yeah, no, it's like, you know, you're just like, yeah.
Was it awkward with Steve afterward?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, we're really good friends. He's one of my dearest friends, and we have such a great relationship, and, you know, I can tell him anything. He can tell me anything. It's just, like, there's, like, no awkwardness, like, you know, when
right,
we have to shoot the crazy things that we have to shoot sometimes.
Yeah, I imagine experience like that probably made it easy not to be shy about things as far as revealing stuff.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Now in the third season had one of my favorite lines when Maria seems to be acclimating to America, and it was kind of awkward fashion. And you're wearing this purple outfit with purple backward hat, and
the Mexican grimace outfit.
Yeah, he's just like he said. What are you supposed to be, the grimace?
Well, it was like one, you know, because. We get to improv a lot on the show, and Danny was improvising, so he was throwing, like, different things, and Mexican grimace was one of the ones that was kept, and that was hilarious. but, yes, it was a Mexican grimace, my FUBU outfit.
Yeah, there's one line from the show in the second season that still amuses me, when he's talking to these Mexican children, and he was wanting to be known as the Black Light or Black Flame or something, and he asked the kid, how do you say black in Spanish? And the kid goes, Negro! Yeah, hey, kid, you said it, I didn't.
Yeah.
But in the, you know, when it came to the third season, or the last one that aired, again, these HBO shows, it's kind of hard to keep up with because they're so far between airings. But I was really impressed with some of the scenes you did when you found out that Steve had cheated on Maria.
Yeah, that was a really rough, really rough scene. Emotionally, it was, you know, it was very taxing. And, you know, and the thing is that we don't shoot it just that once. Like, we have to have that type of emotion,
right,
you know, for 7 to 10 shots, you know, to get it right. And at the and we kept shooting it also because I was afraid to hurt him while I was hitting him. So I kept holding back. And then, you know, Jody came up to me and said, you know, it's looking a little bit fake. He's like, so just really let him have it. And I just remember Steve grabbing me and said, he's like, just hit me. Like, let me have it. And I'm like, I don't want to hurt you. He's like, it's okay. You're not going to hurt me. And I was like, okay. So that sort of gave me permission to sort of just really lay into him. And, but yeah, that was a very, very taxing scene. And it was, I'm glad that it turned out, you know, I've gotten really great feedback on that scene. So I'm really glad that it turned out the way that it did.
Hello?
Hello? Hi.
You're breaking up a little bit. You're breaking up. You've been breaking up a little bit. That was just kind of a long one.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's not your fault. This is not the best service, but it's the best one within my price range.
Oh, okay.
Right,
yeah, I don't know if you got any of that.
You can. No, that's fine. Yeah, I got most of it. When you do a scene like that, did you have to tap at anything from your personal life to try to get that type of pain or anger out? Because I know it's not a light switch. You just can't flip a light switch and be angry.
Oh, absolutely. I went back to a time in my life where I was cheated on. You know, I was in a very, in a long-term relationship where I was cheated on, and I basically, you know, drew from that experience to sort of get me to that place. But yes, you know, most of the time when I am reading something or I'm doing something, you know, I try to take things from my own personal life that I've experienced that's similar to that situation in order to sort of put myself in, you know, in the character's shoes.
Yeah, because I definitely understand that, you know, because the thing that impressed me, and I think I understood it more later because I had some stuff happen to me in my personal life, but, you know, you kind of had that look where you feel like you've been sucker punched in the stomach.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's falling
absolutely.
On you a little bit. It's falling over you a little bit at a time.
Exactly. You know,
you're like, no,
because
I'm not hurting
now.
It slowly
dawns on her. You know, it slowly hits her that he's really not joking.
Yeah.
So that was.
And I thought he was very impressive in those scenes, you know, dramatically, because I can remember one scene.
He's so great.
Yeah, because a couple episodes before, and I didn't know him as an actor because I heard his voice, and I recognized it, and I was like, you know, I know the voice. I don't know that face, but I know the voice, and I found out he did a lot of cartoons.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's
now,
really fantastic. And Danny as well, like, I feel like sometimes, you know, the guys get overlooked, you know, when it comes to, you know, to like award seasons because of the type of show that it is, but really,
right.
I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Like the kind of work that they do is really amazing. And, you know, I'm just, you know, so lucky that I know that I got to work with, you know, with everyone that I got to work with, you know, it's such an amazing experience. And, you know, they're just fantastic, fantastic actors.
Yeah, and I mean, I really enjoyed the show because I remember the first time I saw it, and it was on New Year's in 2010, the first time I saw the show, and it was like nothing else I had seen. I remember I watched it for like 2 hours, and I was thinking, what the hell is this shit? I was enjoying it, but I couldn't figure it out. And the thing is, and you know, and again, I really enjoy it just because of the fact that it's funny, and sometimes the characters are mean, but I always say the difference between something bad being mean and something good being mean is you understand why Kenny Powers is the way he is.
Yes, definitely.
You know,
well, I always say that Kenny Powers is he's basically like a wounded animal. So he's like, everything he does is a preemptive strike, you know?
Right.
And I think that that's why he's so misunderstood, because a lot of people, you know, see him as this, you know, asshole. But, I mean, he is sometimes, but he's just doing it because he's hurt, or he doesn't want to get hurt.
Yeah, you know, and I just now remember this. I want to mention one of my favorite parts of the last season. And again, this was such a disturbing episode of television where Will Ferrell's Ric Flair character has Stevie working as a geisha, and Kenny's trying to rescue him, and they're about to be, I can't remember what was about to happen, it was something bad, and Maria comes in with the truck and drives through the back way.
Yeah.
Because I can remember I was openly cheering when that happened. I was cheering. I was like, oh, hell yeah.
That was a really fun scene. It's definitely a really fun scene.
When you're doing that, when you're doing that, because, you know, a scene like that, you know, that's more complicated necessarily than some of the other stuff. How much of a margin of error did you have?
How much of a margin of error when it came to what, to the driving?
Just driving the truck and what happened. Were you actually driving the truck?
No, actually, we had a stunt person do the
stuff.
I'm ruining like the behind the scenes magic, but I can't take credit for the driving. I mean, I did get in the truck, and you know, when I start yelling like, "Let's get the fuck out of here," and you know, like, "Let's go," like that was, you know, I was in the truck, but I wasn't driving it. And
right.
Even also, like, when I'm driving them and they're in the bed of the truck, we were attached, like, we were harnessed onto, like, another truck. You know, but, yeah, no, like, this, that
like
all was props to, you know, to our stunt person, because, you know, I wouldn't have been able to do all of that.
Let me ask you, because I know you can't give any spoilers for the next season, because we talked about that earlier, I understand completely, but in a general sense, can you tell us, has Maria's role been expanded in the season?
Oh, yes, big time, yes.
Right, is she able to speak more English now?
Yes, definitely, a lot
okay,
more English.
Okay, again, I don't want to... Right, because I know better than to expect somebody to give spoilers, Joe, but I was just curious about that. You said you had a web series coming up?
Yes, I'm actually doing this series with my friend, Lindsay Hollister, who she was actually on Cold Case with me, and it's the series...
Right, I recognize that name.
Yeah, Lindsay
from
Hollister,
the IMDb
yeah.
earlier. Can you
yes,
tell me what it'll
exactly.
be about?
It's called The Bitch Club, and basically it's pretty much how it, you know, what it says, The Bitch Club, and, you know, where you just kind of go and bitch about stuff. But we've been wanting to work together forever, and she's, you know, she's a great writer. She's a fantastic writer, and she's hilarious and such a great actress. And, we've been wanting to work together, and we were tweeting at each other while I was in Wilmington, which is funny because, you know, we're friends, you know, we go out to dinner sometimes and whatnot, but we're tweeting at each other, and she's like, we really need to work together again because someone had tweeted about Cold Case being on again, and I'm like, make it happen. And then she just emailed me and said, like, hey, I'm working on this. Would you like to do a couple of days on it? And I'm like, done. Let's do this. So I'm shooting that in a couple of weeks with her.
Right. Now, when you're doing a web series, are you in on the production end of it at all? Because I'm just wondering how much work has to go into this, because you don't have the money like an HBO or
you know what, I'm not involved in that aspect at all. She's done this before, and like this is the second or third time that she's doing this, so I'm not really sure what goes in into the whole production aspect of it, I'm sure it's, you know, it can be very difficult, you know, because again, you know, you don't have the kind of money that, you know, all these networks and, you know, and cable, you know, like HBO and Showtime, like the, that kind of money. So, but yeah, you know, she makes it work. And, you know, I think like people donate their time and stuff like that. So, you know, it's truly a collaboration in that sense.
Right. Now, what would be your dream role right now? Like if you could play any, if you could do any type of part, what would it be?
You know, I've never really had like, you know, a dream role or a role from a book that I want to play or anything like that. I just want to work. I mean, there's a lot of people that I would love to work with. You know, and like get to perform with, you know, I've been lucky enough that I've met, you know, a lot of my idols, but I would love to actually work with them, you know, not just meet them and say hello and, you know, whatnot, which that was wonderful in itself, but to actually get to work with these people that I've, you know, that I've admired and I've admired their work so much, you know, just to, you know, to work with, you know, like, you know, Kate Winslet, you know, she's such a fantastic actress, and, you know, Gillian Anderson, and, you know, was like, she's always been one of my favorite actresses. And, you know, I've gotten to work with her because of the charity, the nonprofit organization that I helped co-found. But I haven't, you know, I would love to work with her, you know, on a show or a movie or something like that. Although I would say that I would love, if they do an X-Files, a third X-Files movie, I would love to be in that movie. I don't care what I play, but I would love to be in that movie.
when you see an actor, because I'll send it back to the X-Files and you saw them up close, was there a protocol for meeting the actors, you know, like as far as like, you know, because you don't want to necessarily gush over someone because you're afraid, you know, they'll think of you as just a fan. How would you handle that?
The great thing about the X-Files when I did that, when I was an extra for that, is that they did put out an opening call for fans of the show to come and be on the show, because it was a huge shot and they were using this huge auditorium and they had paid extras there, but they needed more people, so they had opened it up to the fans. So they knew that, you know, I don't know, I'm going to say that at least over 200 fans had flown out to be there. So they were very aware of that. So yes, there was like a frenzy of like trying to get their attention, and they were gracious enough to come and sign things and take photos and stuff like that. So in that aspect, it was very much, you know, open to the fans. But generally, when you're doing extra work, you know, that's not really something that you do.
One thing I'm curious about to find out, have you had any acting experiences that were not satisfying or miserable?
You know, I've been lucky enough that I've never really experienced anything like that. Everyone that I've worked with has been, you know, such a pleasure to work with and have been so kind and so giving that, you know, I've never had that kind of experience, and I hope that I never do, you know, because that,
right.
I've been so blessed in that sense.
Yeah, I know. I understand, you know, I mean, it's not on this scale, but when I started the show about over a year ago, I've got to meet some famous people or people I've looked up to, and I've been very fortunate that they've all turned out to be great people.
Yeah, no, definitely. And,
I was saying you've been awesome to talk to.
Oh, no, well, thank you so much for having me on, and it's been a pleasure, so thank you.
Yeah, they're going to probably be cutting us off in a few minutes because we only get so much recording time. Is there anything you would like to plug?
My nonprofit, IBG Inc., you can go find more information about it at ibginc.org, and then also the web series that I'm doing with my friend, which is The Bitch Club.
All right. Do me a favor, and whenever that's ready, just let me know, and I'll do my best to get the word out. Not that I have much power, but I'll, you know, five people, it adds up.
Okay, that would be awesome. Thank you so much.
All right, we are going to take off now. I will be talking tomorrow to wrestler Wolfie D, again, for the second part of our interview. Once again, thank you. Thanks very much to Elizabeth DeRozzo for talking to us. And Eastbound and Down will hopefully be back soon because the trailer just debuted online. Good afternoon, everyone.